The brief background of the text I'll read today from John chapter 1 is that it happened along the banks of the Jordan River, about 20 miles east of Jerusalem. And a central player here is John the Baptist, who is a fiery, passionate preacher. John preached about repentance, about the need to come to the water to be baptized. And he preached about this one who was coming, this Messiah. John preached with passion, with intensity, living out in the wilderness, surviving on bugs and honey, dressing in wild clothes. And this is a message that people came to hear John preach. Repent, be baptized, preparing the way for the coming Messiah. There's a lot that we don't know about John the Baptist, but we do know that from his birth he had been set aside into this pointing ahead prophetic type of role, pointing toward the coming Messiah. We also know that he'd been doing this for quite a while, living out there in the wilderness. We also know that he had a group of followers, his own disciples, and among those was a guy named Andrew. Andrew was from the town of Bethsaida, which was about 90 miles north on the north end of the Sea of Galilee. And Andrew and his brother Simon had a fishing business in the town of Capernaum, not far from Bethsaida, so all about 90 miles north of this setting along the Jordan River. We don't know, though, why it was that Andrew and Simon were all the way down in the Jordan area, that far away from home, away from their business, from family. How that worked out for their fishing company, we don't know. How it was working for their families, we don't know. But here they were. And in the section I'm going to read from John 1, just before what I'll read, some Jewish leaders came out to the Jordan to interrogate John. They came asking questions. Are you the Messiah? I'm not. Are you Elijah? I'm not. Are you the prophet? Meaning a predicted prophet who would come very much like Elijah. John said, I'm not. Then who are you? And John said those well-known words, I'm the voice of one calling the wilderness to prepare the way for the Lord. The Lord, who he said, is already standing in our midst. And then we come to our text, beginning at John chapter 1, verse 29 through 42. The next day, so after all this happened, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, A man comes before me, comes after me. A man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel. Then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah, that is, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Who's your Andrew? Who's that person in your life or those people in your life who in one way or another have had a role in introducing you to Jesus? Look again at verses 41 and 42. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, and he brought him to Jesus. It'd be great if we had some glimpse into Andrew's thinking, a little bit more background. Maybe Andrew knew that Simon, his brother, was primed and ready, as eager to find the Messiah as he was. Maybe that's why these two brothers were down that far away from home along the Jordan River, listening to John, looking ahead to the Messiah. Or maybe Andrew's thinking about his brother was something like this: man, my brother needs help. All he thinks about is making money and about fishing and about the business. He's so whacked out with his job. He needs some help. We don't know. We have no idea what was going on inside of Andrew's mind. But we do know this. When Andrew heard John the Baptist's reaction to Jesus as he went walking by, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Andrew and another follower of John's followed after Jesus. Compelled, curious, interested, we don't know what all it was, but they were drawn toward him. And they ended up spending the day with him. Now imagine that. Just imagine that. Right at the very end of Jesus' ministry, before all the preaching, before any miracles, before the gathering of crowds, before any opposition, right at the beginning of the ministry, to sit down and have a day talking with Jesus. Obviously, the impact of that afternoon on Andrew was enormous. And out of that, he said essentially, "I've got to find Simon and tell him. I've got to find my brother." And off he went. And the text reads, "The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We found the Messiah, the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus." It's the first thing he did. First thing. The Greek word in the text for first thing is proton. It means something that is first. It's central, it's essential, it's proton. And it's from that that we get our word proton, that elementary particle that's in every atomic nuclei. First thing, a proton thing. The proton thing that Andrew did was to go find his brother. Simon, you got to check this out. So who's been like that in your life? Who's Andrew? Maybe it's not Andrew. Maybe it's Andrea or Mike or Mom or Grandpa or somebody else. Is there a person or are there people who you can pull to mind for whom a first thing priority for them was for you to come to know the living Christ? For you to see Jesus at work in them? Who would that be? Maybe they've died. Maybe you've lost touch. Maybe they're sitting here today. Or maybe they're up at the retreat today. Who would it be? And have you told them that story? The role that they had? Even if it was just a bit of a role. The ways that people come to faith in Jesus Christ are as unique and varied as we are from each other. But there's often a common theme. Someone took the lead. Someone stepped up and stepped in. Not treating you like a project to be saved. Not badgering you into faith, which doesn't work anyway. But someone who instead wanted you to know the beauty, the wonder, the life-giving presence of Jesus because they themselves knew it or know it. And they were Jesus-like to you. Who would that be? The author of this gospel, John, he authored a couple of other books that we have in the New Testament, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. And I absolutely love the way that 1 John begins. It's a powerful word of witness along the very lines of what I'm talking about today. Here's how 1 John begins, and I'm paraphrasing just a little bit. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked at and our hands have touched. I mean, this is very personal. This is what we're talking about Jesus. We know Him by experience and we want you to know Him too. Who's Andrew in your life? And have you told them? And would you be willing to tell that story here? Think about doing that. Maybe coming up some Sunday and in 3 or 4 minutes, so a very condensed version, telling your story. Or if that's not possible, maybe meeting with me and having my iPad recording it. It'd be an act of gratitude to God and to others to tell the story about how you came to faith, naming names of the Andrews in your life, people who lovingly, faithfully bore witness to you in the love of Christ. I don't want to assume, though, that everybody here has a story like that to tell, or that everybody here is in a living, growing relationship with Jesus, because we're probably all over the map. Hopefully all moving forward. Hopefully all seeking that deeper, stronger life in Christ. But there's a broad continuum of where we all are in this story of faith. And it's a beautiful part of the church, isn't it? That it's good to be here as a believer or as a seeker. To be here as somebody who's deep into the life of following Jesus, or to be somebody who's just kind of nudging around the edges, curious, wondering, but not quite ready to make a life commitment. Because maybe, just maybe, that's where Simon Peter was, Andrew's brother. And I'm just speculating. That maybe he was curious, hanging around the edges, listening to John preach, listening to Andrew tell his stories, but a few steps removed, not ready to commit. We don't know. But Andrew stepped up. And Andrew stepped in with his brother. After meeting Jesus, the first thing, the proton thing that he did was to find his brother and introduce him to Jesus. And if you know the gospel story, Simon, whose name was changed, Jesus changed to Cephas, which is Aramaic for Petros, the Greek word which means rock. Simon Peter, Simon the Rock, became one of Jesus' closest followers, a passionate preacher, teacher, and evangelist. Peter. It all began as God moved Andrew to do that first thing, to step up and step in, to find his brother and introduce him to Jesus. It's the same role we've been given. It's the very same role we've been given. All of us who have come to know Jesus in a living way, to tell others, to introduce people to the one who has so transformed our lives, to put words into actions, and to graciously share the good news that we know, that we live into. Simon Peter wrote 2 letters that we have in the New Testament, 1 and 2 Peter. Here's part of what he wrote in 2 Peter, figuratively describing the message that we Christ followers have, that we carry. This message, he writes, is completely reliable, and you'd do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What a beautiful image. Light shining. Day dawning, like a morning star rising in people's hearts. It's not arguing people into faith or tisking in judgment. It's honestly living lovingly like Christ with others, and sharing the very same Jesus who we've come to know and who's brought light into our lives like a light shining into a dark place. And we all know that we've got dark places. So along with asking you the question, who's Andrew to you? I need to ask, to whom are you Andrew? Or to whom might you be Andrew? Being someone who has as a first thing, a first priority, a desire to let somebody else know about the Jesus who you know. As I said earlier, there are as many ways to come to faith in Jesus Christ as there are people. But there's often that common thread. Someone steps up and steps in, takes the lead and speaks from their heart, speaking from their bright place where Christ shines in us. It's not all up to us as if it's something we can manage on our own, because on our own we will never ever do it. It's about God moving. It's about God preparing hearts ahead of time to receive and to hear. It's about the Holy Spirit's timing, the Holy Spirit moving and giving us words and timing. But God uses people who are pliable and ready, who are paying attention to His timing and His prompting. God uses people who know their own weakness and go to Him for help. God uses people who know His Word, who know this story, who know His promises, and who actively hold Jesus and the good news of the gospel as first thing priorities, proton things in life to be shared with others. Are you willing to be an Andrew to someone else? To a brother, to a coworker, to a neighbor, to someone you maybe don't know at all right now, but who in God's timing may come into your lens. At the retreat, Sid quoted Dallas Willard, who said, "Jesus can teach you anything. Jesus can teach you anything." A lot of people aren't willing, and we know that we can come up with 85 reasons why now is not the right time to mention about faith or anything about Jesus. But this news about Jesus, His forgiveness, the hope that rises like a light shining, the promises of His presence, it is too first thingish. It's too important not to share. And I believe that this is a growing edge for this church and for all of us to be Andrews, to be primed and ready to share, to look for people, and at God's timing with God's words, God's promptings, to share this lovingly and graciously with the world around us. Let's pray. Lord, help us to be Your faithful followers in all that we do. Help us to keep as first thing Your gospel word for us, and this life You give us to be Your disciples. Disciples who make disciples, not by our own will, but not by our own power, but by Your movement. Continue to move among us and grow us deeper and broader in this life of faith. We pray this all in Your holy name. Amen.